This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Joining us today, we have Dr. Ginger Hsu, a Harvard-trained plastic surgeon and founder of Ethos Plastic Surgery in San Francisco, California. Dr. Hsu is renowned for providing personalized care and natural, elegant plastic surgery results for her patients. And Dr. Hsu, we thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
With a pleasure, certainly all ours, and we thank you for your time. So for starters, how does one actually pick the right implant size? Let's start there.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And, you know, to be honest, breast surgery to me is such a personal thing, being a woman, and it's a journey that I really like being involved in with my patients. And, you know, the right size and the right implant type is really going to vary from person to person. So it starts with a very personalized and holistic intake process where I want to understand, you know, what is my patient's personal aesthetic and ideal vision of beauty? And, you know, what is her body shape and size, you know, hips to waist ratio, like how is she proportioned? And really everyone has this individualized, unique vision for what looks good on their body. So that's the first thing, is that this is not a one size fits all approach where, you know, we go in and then I tell the patient what size they should have. Absolutely not. You know, we are all about honoring the individual and their body and their vision. And after that, it's really, you know, what they kind of feel like looks good on their body, and then also what makes sense for them from a lifestyle perspective. So patients who are going to be very active, who do a lot of yoga or, you know, boxing or sports, that there's a lot of movement, that's going to, you know, affect your implant choice. And, you know, the other thing is, what do their breasts already look like? So for mommies who have had, you know, children and breastfed, sometimes these women have a little deflation in their breasts, a little extra skin. And what I see sometimes is people getting implants that are too big because the surgeon is just trying to put in a big implant and lift the breast that way, when really the proper thing to be doing is an actual breast lift. So it depends on kind of their starting anatomy, which can only really be assessed through a consultation and an exam. And then after that, you know, we talk about implant dimensions such as the projection. So a really projected implant is going to give a really done and kind of like overinflated look, which is really not my patient profile or my own aesthetic preference. So more and more so, especially in the San Francisco Bay Area, we're seeing people who want very natural results that align and fit with their body. And so we actually do several different things. I ask for inspiration photos of what they think looks good. We do sizers in the office so the patients can try anything from like a 100 cc implant up to 800, although I don't really put those in. Those are more for reconstruction. And then we have them try on some sizers at home. And through that interactive process, we're really able to define their perfect look.
Certainly taking it the extra mile on that, and thanks for all the details. Certainly a great place to open up the conversation here. Now, I'm sure there are common myths, so what is a common myth about breast implants?
Yeah, I love answering this question because unfortunately there are many, and I can't tell you how many times I see a patient and they say, or just someone, you know, in passing, just in life, and they say, oh, you know, well, I don't want breast implants because I don't want to be too big. Like, I'm afraid of looking too big. I think that's the most heartbreaking thing is, I think there's been, unfortunately, a trend of women who have gone to surgeons who end up putting in implants that are bigger than they wanted, and they don't educate or take the time to tell the patient about smaller implant sizes. So implants are very customized and they can come as small as 100 cc's. So if you imagine like a Coke can, the volume in a Coke can is about 330. So 300 cc's, so a third of that volume is the smallest implant you can have. And so for petite women, you can actually have a lovely small boost that enhances breast size and shape and not have to have a really large, like, you know, double D cup situation. So I think that's the first thing, is just people don't even know that small implants are an option, that you don't have to go too big. Because there have been horror stories of people who have woken up and, you know, seen implants that their surgeon put in that were bigger than they wanted. To me, that's really heartbreaking. And I've done a lot of surgeries for women who have wanted to downsize. So that's the first thing. And the second is, you know, I think that there is this idea that you have to swap out your implants, you know, every so many years. And that is an overall suggestion, but it's not mandatory. And so I think some people hesitate to get implants because they're worried about all this upkeep. And while it's true that, you know, implants are not a lifetime device and you do have to do some maintenance and routine screening, it's not an absolute requirement that at a certain time you have to have a repeat surgery. So I think, you know, a lot of misconceptions are out there. And so I really like having the consultation be an educational process because, you know, implants are great for some people and they really are not for others. But the main, you know, takeaway is that we need to educate people about what it really means to live with implants and what the options are so that they can make the best choice for themselves. And I really love being a part of that process for patients.
Certainly some great information shared there, and education is certainly the key, and you're doing a fantastic job in those regards. Thanks so much. Now, if you would, tell us about your signature brand of small breast beauty and natural breast augmentation.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to kind of be spearheading this movement. So this is kind of an extension of what we were just talking about, you know, where people don't know that small implants are an option. I personally have seen, and also personally, you know, my kind of philosophy on aesthetics is that, you know, the days of bigger and better are behind us. So in the 90s, you know, Pamela Anderson kind of style, like over enhanced, inflated breasts. I think there was a movement where, you know, for some people, if they have work done, they want to show it. And, you know, there was just this kind of really hyperinflated breast look. And those days are kind of over. Like a lot of patients are coming in for a reduction in their implant size. It's just really not easy in terms of lifestyle. It can be cumbersome. It can just be really too heavy. And so I am excited to just share with women that it is an option. And even with a small implant, you can have an enhancement, especially in women who have had some breastfeeding experiences where it left their breasts a little deflated and a little saggy. Just a small implant can really just restore the volume that you had before and give you that boost and really, you know, help with feeling more confident in clothing and just feeling like you've got your body back. So there are so many reasons and trends behind small breast beauty. And I just really enjoy educating women about that and offering it, and also just personally being behind that as a beauty standard, that it's not one size fits all. Implants don't have to be big. And with the small tasteful implant, you can achieve a really natural, elegant result. And, you know, this entire push I have towards natural breast augmentation is really that it ideally should look natural. I think that with our changing, you know, beauty landscape, more and more people are wanting to look natural. They don't want to look really fake or overdone. And you can achieve that absolutely through implants. And a side note on that is that, you know, it's not just about size, but also implant shape. So implants come in different, what are called like projections. So there's like a moderate, moderate plus, high, high plus, and then like extreme high projection. And so, you know, even if you have a larger implant, if you're going with a lower or moderate profile, it's not going to torpedo out and look as projected and like what I call like the bowling ball look, like two balls on the chest that are just sticking out. Most people don't want that anymore. And so you can absolutely still have a larger implant and increase your breast size, but have it look natural by selecting a projection that is just more natural to the human body. So there are so many nuances to this, and I love being able to offer it to women.
We certainly do appreciate your joining us here today and for what you do in this space as well. We're speaking with Dr. Ginger Hsu, a Harvard-trained plastic surgeon and founder of Ethos Plastic Surgery, located in San Francisco, California, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Hsu, if one doesn't want implants, how can they naturally increase their breast size?
Yeah, this is actually a new exciting wave of things that we're seeing in aesthetic plastic surgery. So there is something called a fat transfer or fat grafting approach, which is where we are able to harvest your own natural body fat using liposuction techniques from areas that you have extra fat, you know, and who doesn't have a little extra somewhere? So usually we're able to harvest from unwanted, what are called like donor fat areas. And then, you know, through a process of processing and really separating out that fat and then extracting it, reinject it back into the body. And it originally was done for more reconstructive purposes. It brings in stem cells. We were doing it for breast reconstruction. We also do it in other areas of the body, such as buttocks. So what's known as a BBL is a Brazilian butt lift. We're also using it for adding volume to the face. And so this is kind of all in the same space where we have, through advanced technologies, been able to process and utilize this fat where you don't want it in your body and then put it in areas that you want to enhance volume. And so in the last 5 to 10 years, you know, initially there was concern about using fat in the breast and possibly increasing risk for breast cancer. And that's a really important topic because this was initially done to correct some deformities in women who had had mastectomies and radiation and, you know, surgeries and treatments related to breast cancer treatment. And what's been shown is that it absolutely does not increase your risk for breast cancer. So it's safe from that perspective. And so now we are actually using it for aesthetic purposes where we can enhance and increase breast volume and size using your own natural body fat. So that is called a fat transfer or fat grafting, breast fat transfer procedure. There's a section on my website where we really talk about that. And it's a great option for women who are just, you know, averse to the idea of implants. They don't want to deal with possibly having silicone in their body or maintenance issues. And just, it's a completely, you know, personal choice. The main thing with this approach is that you have to have enough body fat. So you do an assessment during the patient's exam and, you know, they show me where they kind of have unwanted areas. And the real fun of this is that, you know, we're able to kind of do a 2-in-1 procedure where there's really, really nice results of body contouring, slimming and contouring in areas where they have extra fat. And then we also can boost it and increase their breast size.
Certainly do appreciate the feedback, and who would have ever thought there was another option available? So you've certainly informed us well here today. One last question. How does one avoid the popular Barbie look? Talk to us about that.
Right. So, you know, the Barbie look is kind of what I was talking about earlier with these like really projectile implants and like the bowling balls on the chest. So there's two things. One is, I think, and I see this on vacation all the time, like at the beach, at the pool, where women have really gotten to a point sometimes with old implants where they have these bowling ball, you know, looks. And it's actually from something where the scar tissue kind of hardens. And that's when, you know, they need a revision procedure, but it just gives implants a bad look and creates the stigma that, you know, that is what implants look like. That's kind of implants gone wrong and really requires some revision work. So that's kind of the first thing, is kind of like a pathologic Barbie look. And then there's the Barbie look where it's just really like round bowling balls that are projected because the selection of the implants was such that they had really high profile implants. So the quick, easy answer to that is the way to avoid it is by selecting the appropriate size implant and also the appropriate projection. And so in my own practice, I would say 90% of the time I'm using a moderate profile, which is tried and true for me and my patients and provides that really natural look. So I can pretty much guarantee that if I'm putting in a moderate profile implant, it's not going to create the Barbie look. But as we start inching into more projected looks, in some patients, they do want more of an enhancement. And that's absolutely, you know, that's actually fine. It's their personal kind of aesthetic. We'll go into like a moderate plus or maybe a high profile. And with that, it kind of achieves more of this like cleavage or busty look, but it's still not going to be that super high profile Barbie look, which I just, you know, in general, I'm not really putting in because most of my patients and my clientele don't want that look. So again, it just comes down to selecting the right implant and really working with your surgeon to communicate, you know, your ideals, your vision for your body. And then afterwards, it's about, you know, keeping your implants healthy and, you know, coming in promptly if you notice an issue, if there's any hardening, if the implants start looking weird, if there's scar tissue, and there's quick fixes for that. But when people wait and wait and wait and they kind of, you know, let it go is when they end up with those weird looks that we're seeing, you know, publicize. And unfortunately, that just, you know, misconstrue what implants really look like.
Dr. Hsu, you really did inform us well, a lot of insight and information shared per your expertise. We can't thank you enough. If listeners wanted to get more information on your practice there in San Francisco, Ethoplastic Surgery, where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, so our website has a wealth of information. It was very painstakingly and lovingly created. The content on there is very thorough, and we have additional information on the breast procedures as well as our holistic approach to plastic surgery. It's gingershoemd.com, so it's my full name, GINGERXUMD.com. We also have an Instagram for Ethos Plastic Surgery where we have videos, educational content, where I'm talking about a lot of, you know, FAQs, interesting topics. So those are two great resources. We also have videos that I have recorded professionally on our website for the different topics of their face, breast, body. And lastly, just give us a call. My staff are always here and really love providing patient education, walking them through the process. And, you know, we really look forward to helping anyone who's interested in these procedures and look forward to seeing them in an office.
And of course, listeners, as always, draw your attention to the show notes where you can also have access to this link as well. Dr. Hsu, all the best, and we thank you for joining us here today on eHealth Radio and look forward to another conversation.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And you too as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Ginger Hsu, a Harvard-trained plastic surgeon and founder of Ethos Plastic Surgery in San Francisco, California. Dr. Hsu is renowned for providing personalized care and natural, elegant plastic surgery results for her patients. And again, for all the details, visit GingerHsuMD.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.